You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, it's all about the US elections. It's all about Donald Trump and the Republicans winning, I would suggest to you guys, far more easily than anticipated. But this morning, you're going to hear obviously some of my thoughts, but we cannot have a Speak Freely show without my mate Bruce Pope calling in from the USA, and doubly so, Bruce. And by the way, welcome. We can't not have you after this election.
Oh, gosh, it's been just after a tumultuous, unbelievable summer that we've all watched with, you know, earth-shaking things of, you know, the legal cases and the battles and the coup and two assassinations and speeches and conventions and, oh my goodness, and it was called all in one night. Nobody saw that coming. Just amazing.
Let's touch on that for the start, because I'm sure there's people who are elated. There are those that are disappointed. I suspect everyone, if I'm not presumptuous, Bruce, you and Nancy, everyone's exhausted. But why the surprise? I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about why Trump won, why Harris lost, but you just mentioned there about the results in one night. Why is that significant?
It's huge. We haven't had it as results in one night in, gosh, I can't remember, maybe the first Daddy Bush, because we had Bush versus Gore, and that was the Hanging Chads, and they were in Florida. And then Clinton, there was something with Clinton going on. And then the Hillary, she had problems, and it took, the count took weeks. And then last time around, they're still arguing over it. So to call the election on election night is remarkable, and the whole thing's based on the Electoral College.
Yeah. So is that also a sign of just how definitive the result was? I suppose that's been my impression. Is obviously Trump won. We know that, but it was a thumping victory for him and the Republicans. They seem to have held the House. They've recaptured strongly the Senate. I mean, this was a definitive, clear result.
This was definitive. It was clear. It's totally paradigm shattering. Kind of the people spoke. E pluribus unum is our motto. Out of many, one. And boy, that many sure did make a lot of noise last night. And yes, it's... it's exciting. It's good. And I forgot what your question was.
Oh, no, but it was just the fact that the results came in so quickly, as you say. I mean, we remember last time with how Trump was obviously reacting and didn't concede and questioned about whether late ballots and postal ballots. And this time it's just been boom. Here it is. It's done. He won.
Well, it was such a huge sea change. Just as you go down, I got some of the statistics. Everybody tilted toward Trump. You can't really go, well, it was these folks. I mean, Hispanic men up by 8, seniors up by 3, Protestants up by 22, Jews up by 34, unaffiliated up by 40, military, gun owners, everybody. Kamala got, she actually got the union, but still it was down from what it was in when Biden won. Educated college women, you know, that I'm educated and I feel so guilty for the down class, and they're fine, thank you. Anyway, Black said, hey, you come around every 4 years, we don't want to hear it anymore. And so the Black vote was up by 12%, which is remarkable. The usual basis, it's no longer the divide and conquer, the identity politics and separation and things. It just wasn't there this election.
That was one of my impressions as I was watching the results come in yesterday. And you mentioned paradigm shift. This wasn't Trump simply winning a couple of extra states per se. Across just about every demographic, he was making ground, including with women, because there was a lot of talk, certainly here in New Zealand, Bruce, around the abortion question and the woman's vote, that there would be a wave But actually, while women overall still voted more for Harris, it was not as definitive and as strong as they expected.
Well, yes. I mean, the abortion, women did. They tilted toward for Trump, although it was very, very, very close, the educated college women. But the abortion was the kingpin, a linchpin of the campaign. And it just was kind of a non-issue. People were like, yeah, that's nice. Okay, you know, we want to do choice. Okay, fine. But that shouldn't be the all end all for everything. You need some issues. And the issues where everybody knew about it was the immigration, your pocketbook. It was just so obvious.
James Carville's famous quote, it's the economy, stupid.
Absolutely. And it was just such a dichotomy. I liked what you wrote the other day about a bureaucratic government and run by bureaucrats. It'd be scary, which would be exactly what we'd have if Harris would have been elected. Here you've got bureaucrats versus a leader. And I think the whole world just kind of took a collective sigh of going, thank goodness we don't have the United States being all weird on us. people look to us and we're the leaders. And if we don't have a strong leader, somebody else will fill it. And so that's everybody's
happy. A lot of Kiwis will be sitting here today, Bruce, going, well, they look at Trump and go, oh my God, the man's a maniac and crazy. Then they would probably would want to say that they see him as a strong leader at one level, but very unpredictable and dangerous. I mean, not everyone thinks that, of course, but there's a lot. Certainly, our media talk about that. I mean, would you have a response to that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. In the past 2 weeks, Trump has really been humanized. People. His granddaughter, his sit down with Joe Rogan, and people have heard some really nice things about what he's done. He was a media darling way back when. Yes, he's a buffoon. I mean, he just has no filter, not a buffoon, but no filter. When we started way back a month ago, America wants a leader. They don't really. I don't have to like my general. And in fact, I shouldn't like my general. But that general is going to keep me safe and keep me out of war and the world politics and the economy and lead. But I don't have to like you.
Well, I had someone else mention too, they don't have to be your Valentine. You know, you're not voting for them to be your Valentine. You're voting for them to be your political leader. So, I mean, well, yeah. I think you've sort of touched on some of the reasons why Trump won. I mean, are there elements of why Harris lost? You know, was she too close to Biden? I mean, where is Biden? By the way, I noticed in her concession speech, and we should get to that, she didn't mention Biden once.
No. But yes, she did right at the beginning, as an aside. But
you were listening more closely than I was, clearly.
Right. Well, some of our commentators picked up on it and said they never mentioned Trump, and they went back and go, well, actually, she did. Yeah, but very quickly. So, what does she? She lost, the battleground states. They call it the blue, the blue wall. And those were, she had to win every one of them. Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those were the blue wall. She won those, or Biden won those in 4 years ago, and Trump won them 8 years ago. And those were the big battleground states, and it wasn't close. Pennsylvania, they're a mining state. They're full of natural resources, and they just weren't going to go for the Green Deal. I think a lot of that. Arizona's still counting votes. Nevada's counting votes, but Michigan just went to Trump. They called that, and so that final tally on that was 292 to 244. Yeah, so each state had their own issues. Plus, picked up 3 Senate seats. So the Senate will now be run by the Republicans, which will make Trump's confirmation hearings for his cabinet staff much easier.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit through that. Actually, first point, an observation. I noticed, and I was bouncing between the BBC, CNN, and Fox yesterday, and I was actually, the CNN guys were delving into these blue wall seats like Pennsylvania and Georgia. And as you say, I don't know, Allentown mining areas, strong and stronger Trump votes. But they were pointing out in the cities, it's not that Trump won the vote there, but he got a stronger vote and Harris's vote was less. So again, even in her heartland, she was clearly not popular.
No, the urban centers, let me explain the Electoral College real quickly again, as we, because you guys may not understand it, is the Electoral College is there to protect the population centers. If it was just a majority vote, a candidate, all they'd have to do was campaign in the large population centers, Los Angeles, New York, Houston. And those are naturally all Democrats, all left-leaning. And so the college keeps that from happening. And yes, traditionally, the urban voters are left, and the rural folks, white, evangelical, rural, no college degree, work with their hands. They're usually real conservative. White educated college women, usually liberal. You usually fall for that, but it didn't go that way. It was even down to the self-identified independents was down to 7%, which was interesting.
Well, even Minnesota. I follow Minnesota because Rachel, my wife, well, she lived in Minnesota for a while,
sure.
That wasn't definitive. I mean, obviously, it went blue, it went Democrat, but it always gets a bit, by the way, confusing, Bruce, for New Zealanders, because the centre-right party here is blue and the Labour or left party is red, but your colours are around you're American, so you're always doing things differently. But, even Minnesota, Tim Walz's area didn't turn out strongly. I mean, obviously they won it, but not as well as they would have thought.
The turnout wasn't that big. I would have been shocked if Tim Walz can't carry his own state. That would then be just what?
That should be hilarious.
You got to carry your own state. The turnout was it was remarkable to get out the vote the Trump people got, and so when it came actual election day, it wasn't even there. And Republicans are usually that strong wall going, I'm not doing anything until election day. But that changed. That changed big time yesterday. This is the first time in American history. I think it's going to go down as the largest political comeback in American history, possibly anybody. I mean, 2 impeachments, all the legal stuff, outvoted and then come back in. We only had that done once. Grover Cleveland. We had a president named Grover Cleveland in 1888 who was voted out and then voted back in 1892. But that's the only time. So this is, songs will be written, books, plays will
yes.
be done.
it's a huge turnaround. I can't help but reflect, and I'd welcome your opinion. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of, I call it the elites, not on the conspiratorial side, but the heads of the Democrats, the head of university, or you'd call them college faculties, a lot of the mainstream media, they all talk down at people and about the issues that they think are important. So trans issues, gender issues, climate change, abortion, all of this stuff. And actually, that was rejected in many ways.
Absolutely. Out of hand. It was totally rejected. This boogeyman, it just kind of shit. What? There was no sexism and the Islamophobia and all the all the left issues, it just went to show that they're just so wildly out of touch with the things that are important rather than, you know, things what they feel about. So, yeah, they're going to have to do some real soul searching and thinking about.
They won't, will they? To phrase that as a question and a statement, they won't. I'm thinking of the mainstream media in particular and the doyens and the colleges. They will be blaming everybody but themselves. They'll be blaming others or claiming it is sexism and racism and so forth, rather than going, you know what, we actually talk about the wrong issues.
Yeah, I mean all the talk of, you know, Nazism, fascism, name-calling, called Mussolini, which whoever you wanted to, you know, pick an insert name here for a bad guy, it just didn't resonate. In fact, it backfired. People go, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to play this game.
So what happens from here? Are we going to ever hear of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz again, or are they going to be put out to pasture?
To be determined. I would say Tim Walz will go back to, you know, his governorship and live a long and happy life away from me. and Kamala, she's still vice president. If she runs starts a super PAC or something, she'll make a fortune. Doubtful she'll go back into Congress. I think super PAC and lobbying. And she's former vice president, for goodness sake. She gets a nice paycheck.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't actually appreciate that. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see whether she can be the next Democratic candidate, but you can't help but feel, as someone who basically took it off Biden, didn't get voted through, that the Democratic base will not be that forgiving to her.
Oh, no. She's gone. She's never going to be able to run for president or any major office. There are too many. Shapiro in Pennsylvania, which was a political mistake on her part for not naming him, he wants to be president. Pretty boy out in California, Newsom. He wants to be president. Whitmer, I think up in Wisconsin, she wants to be president. So now throw Kamala in there, not a chance.
So how are they going to cope? I'm talking about the Democrats at large, because as you mentioned, and it's really important for listeners to understand, Trump thumped in his results, but the Republicans dominate now both the House and the Senate, which means, in short, they can pretty much do anything they want. And I've noticed the Democrats have already stopped talking about the Senate filibuster, for example, or Sotomayor retiring. I mean, and what are the Democrats? I know it's early hours, Bruce, but are the Democrats just going to be sort of limp and useless, or are they going to go crazy when they've got no influence?
I think it'll be, what did Shakespeare say, a lot of fluff and dander signifying nothing or something like that. No, they're going to be out of power. The Senate, see, as the government, we've got the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And the executive branch is the presidency. So that's one-third of the entire United States government just changed hands. That's going to be the Secretary of State, Labor, Defense, all those cabinet positions. The Senate just went to majority Republican, and they are the ones who certify the nominations for those cabinet positions. They're also going to be able to dictate policy and rules of the law. Filibuster, no. Nobody's going to filibuster. Nobody's going to lose that. Nobody's going to pack the court. Maybe the adults are in the room again. I don't know. And they're still counting votes on the House of Representatives, so they may go Republican as well. So the Democrats, let the impeachments begin, I think, is what they've got.
All right. Well, sort of part of the final thoughts is, what does Trump do now? Let's just give, if you can, from your experience, what's he going to be doing now, and when does he actually become president? Because it's strictly, he has been the president, and now he's the president-elect. So when is he going to be actually sworn in, and what do you think he'll be doing apart from playing golf?
Between now and he gets sworn in, puts his hand on the Bible on January 20th of next year, 2024. What's going to happen between now and then is he'll put together a transition team where he will get a bunch of canvassers, go out and find who the best folks could fill those positions, the state, the labor, the defense, and et cetera. I think there's 13, I forget. Anyway, those all have to be filled, and all those people have to be vetted, because disaster could happen if they're not vetted. We all know that.
Oh, okay.
And so then it's they'll be tying up loose ends. Congress, on the other hand, now they're changing hands. So they'll have to elect a majority leader for the Senate. And then all those committees, the appropriations, I don't know who gets what committees, but every committee in Congress will change from left to right. So a lot of moving chairs in 3 months. New people, new ideas, new philosophies. Probably not done without a lot of screaming and yelling.
Oh, it's a huge shift. This is probably what I didn't expect. You and I have talked on radio about this before, that we thought Trump would win. I didn't expect him to win so decisively. Didn't expect him to get the popular vote, by the way. And nor did I expect this to be just
7 million.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, dude, we didn't even talk about the popular vote. There was no room for shenanigans. It was tight as a drum, and boom. 7 million.
Yeah, that's right. Boom, I love it.
Yeah, that's nuts. And then this morning, I woke up, or the day after the election, and Dow Jones opens at 1,300 points up and closes over 1,500 points on the day. I mean, the world is just feeling better. Social media beats the legacy media, leaders versus bureaucrats. Oh, goodness. It's just wonderful. Identity politics can just go away. This wokeness, it's just nuts.
Well, final question for you. And look, thank you, by the way, for so much of your time. Obviously, Trump gave his speech, and Harris has given her concession speech. Any thoughts on either of them or both?
For a guy, Trump had just an incredible day, and his speech was very gracious. He didn't, say, okay, now I'm in charge, new sheriff in town. It was just a very, very nice, I won? That's great. I won't let you down. Whereas Harris, she was very gracious. She, on the grounds of Howard University, gracious, about a 10-minute speech. Whether or not she's mentioned Biden, we can argue that. I think she wanted it to be uplifting and maybe to tone down some potential violence that could happen between now and election day. Inauguration day. Biden didn't show up, and that speaks of things.
Must be hard on him, actually. I have very little time for Biden, but it must be hard on him at one level to see his legacy fall aside. Obviously, he got rolled in effectively a palace coup, and probably asking himself, mm-hmm. I could have done better.
He could be. But I think there may be, once Trump's in the office, there's going to be some questions, on how did Biden get so rich? So I don't know how much revenge politics would Trump's going to play, but there may be some.
Well, we'll have to keep watching. Bruce, thank you so much for taking the call and giving us right from the heart of Maryland of what's going across the United States and what's been a remarkable election in and of itself and a remarkable, remarkable result. So thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. One for the record books. This thing, our children's children will talk about this. I'm so pleased. And as we move through now the transition period, we'll walk you through that too.
We'll look forward to staying in touch. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, bye-bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.